This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead, including chat from Dons, Jamie Langfield and Johnny Hayes. In the week where the new home strip and sponsor were revealed, we'll also hear from Vice Chairman George Yule. Celtic unveil their new manager. Scandinavian coaches always do well in Scotland, don't they? And we've got golf, tennis and more to come between now and 7 when Stu's back for In Demand. It's John and the two Daves on the official station of the Dons, North Sound 1. It starts right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, as always, to Pataudry, and this week, Johnny Hayes, who you may have seen modelling the new strip a few days ago, previewing here, in the company of Dave Galloway, the season to come.
We never look too far ahead of ourselves, and that's the way the manager operates. We never think too far ahead. I'm sure he does, but we don't. He has our focus firmly on the next game in hand, and for us, as you said, the opposition doesn't matter. We prepare ourselves to play the game. We don't worry about the opposition. We try to let them worry about us, and as you say, take one game at a time.
And I guess a target next season will be try and get, however difficult it may be, try and get a little bit closer to Celtic.
Yeah, ideally, Celtic are a fantastic side. We know that they'll have European ambitions themselves. Our aim would be, while they're playing in big European games, obviously to get as close as possible. It's unrealistic to say we're going to challenge for the title, not this season anyway. But I think if we could bridge the gap, I think it was quite a big gap in the end, if we could bridge that gap a little bit, then obviously it's progress.
And just looking towards the pre-season build-up, obviously we've got the Europa League draw coming up quite soon. I guess there'll be a lot of excitement amongst the lads to see who you're going to get.
Yeah, I've seen teams for the draw there, and there's some interesting ties, interesting countries, but I think the lads are just eager to get back in, get the first game. Just purely because of what happened at the end of last season. I've spoken to a couple of lads that have been away, and obviously holidays cut short now preparing for pre-season. I think the first game can't come quick enough for us.
And obviously one way of raising the bar even higher after a tremendous season, this season just passed, would be to make a decent run in Europe as well. That would be great if you could even get to the group stage of the Europa League.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a long shot when you consider the teams you can come across and the teams that go on to win the Europa League, and you look at teams like Atletico Madrid that were only in the last season, and it's going to be a very difficult task getting to the group stages, but obviously the club have done well in Europe before. Unfortunately came up against Bayern Munich, but if we can get a bit of luck in the draws and obviously play well, then there's no reason why we can't go as far as the group stages.
Evening, this is North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm John Mellis, joined once again by the two Daves. Dave Mack back from holidays, all tanned and presumably relaxed and rejuvenated, right up until the point he hit our studio this evening when the weight and burden of carrying the rest of the team once more settled upon his weary shoulders. Good holiday, Dave.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
I thought it was Jimmy Calderwood that was in the studio.
It is a tan. It's not quite Jimmy standards.
No, but, I bow to the superiority that is Jimmy in the tan stakes, Mr. Mahogany.
And as for our prezzies, are they still outside in the car?
Yeah, I'll get them later.
Okay. A few things happening in your absence, Dave, and they said it couldn't be done, that Pataudry would collapse without your guidance, but Shea Logan now in a permanent contract and two new additions with more to come. Are you pleased with the arrivals?
Yeah, I think it shows intent. The lad Ash Taylor is very well thought of. He's still 23, so he's very young. The goalkeeper is one that we've been keeping tabs on for quite a number of months, and I know Jim Leighton rates him very highly. And, of course, I think all Dons fans are absolutely delighted that Shea has decided that his future lies in the North East. I think quite a few of them were maybe just thinking, well, that he'll go down south, you know, he's got family and all.
And that it's just the way that business is done
now
as well.
But no, I think, and again, I think what it does do is sets a marker in terms of a statement of intent, and also shows what getting back into Europe means in terms of trying to attract players.
We'll talk over the possibility of other signings and stuff like that later on. Winning fans and acclaim in equal measure this past season. Jamie Langfield's chatting here. That's Red TV's Mal Panton, but North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
I think I've always been a good shortstopper. I think I command my area quite well, and I'm a big boy. But I think I get slaughtered a fair bit for my kicking. But I think in last year, I think I was the only goalkeeper that set up three or four goals mm-hmm. for the team. I don't think any other goalkeeper set up a goal last year. So my kicking always gets slaughtered, but because I put one or two at the pitch. But that's going to happen because I try to be so accurate. I'm not one of these goalkeepers that just try and lump it down the pitch as far as you can, and just I try and do what the gaffer tells me to do. And sometimes it comes off and sometimes it doesn't. But I'd certainly say my kicking's got a lot better.
Jim Leighton's kicking wasn't always the case.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm learning from the master there. So
he knew how to put them in the south stand.
No, but we did. As much as we say Jim obviously could kick, but he works on things with me and he tweaks little things. And come the end of the season, I was, because my legs were getting a bit tired, we tweaked it a little bit and we found a new way that you take a shorter run up and I'd get it just as far. And it's certainly helped my timing. And I think the last five or six games of the season, my kicking game is better. So hopefully it's another wee tweak. And that's what I'm saying, I'm 34, I'm always learning. And hopefully next season it's just as good again.
I know Jim, but I mean, he is Scotland's greatest ever goalkeeper, and I mean, the two of you get on well, don't you?
Yeah, very well. He's incredible to work with. He's into it, and he's mellowing a little bit with, I wouldn't say old age, but the more experience he's getting, because he's very approachable and he's to speak to after games now. And maybe it's because I'm a little bit older now. I'm not just a young boy anymore. Mm. And he appreciates what I've got to say in that, and obviously I've heard about Scotty Brown coming on, and he's looking forward to working with him, and I don't blame him. Hopefully we've got a good goalkeeping fraternity next year as well.
Lots to talk over there. Jim's mellowing with maturity, Dave. Is that something
you'd
like to
comment on? Yeah, I think Jim got it right first time old age. So, but he's mellowing a wee bit. Although I think you and I both saw him in the immediate aftermath of the last game of the season, and you could perhaps argue that statement ever so slightly.
Mellowing about a mile and a half above the centre of the earth.
Absolutely.
Jimmy's kicking game's improved, he thinks, guys. Discuss.
Where do you start from, though? I mean, it was a starting point, so it's maybe improved from where it was.
Yeah, I think it has improved. I think his all-round game, joking aside, his all-round game has certainly improved. In fact, I was just watching the highlights this morning of the Dundee United game at the end of the season there, where Aberdeen deservedly won 3-1 at Tannadice, but Jamie pulled off three or four absolutely outstanding saves, and this has been his best season without doubt.
Can I tell you the thing with it? I think the stuff that you remember from Jamie, and I guess every keeper, are those fantastic saves, but equally the clang is the times that the ball bobbles over his foot, or he miskicks.
Yeah,
but for Jamie the clang has seemed to haunt him more than fantastic saves are his hallmark. Is it because they all seem to happen at the same time? I mean, it does seem to be that there's that great save and then almost instantaneously a gaffe, as if to remind you that it's a part of his game.
No, I think you said it yourself. It's the same with all goalkeepers, and I think it's just with our fans because he's our keeper, so we notice them more. But I think if you go to speak to any set of fans, goalkeepers make mistakes, but they're always highlighted. So I don't think there's. I think Jamie's had a fantastic season. He's best yet. He would think that as well. I think it was a real, not quite a disgrace, but amazed at some of the choices for the national squad that Jamie missed out on. So not his. And keepers do mature that bit later.
He's got to be worth a try for Scotland. They've got to put him through his paces, surely. I mean, surely he deserves that.
You know, Cammy Bell playing in, as we said, third tier last season, getting the nod beforehand. That didn't seem to me that seems a wee bit unfair.
Yeah.
Number one for the start at Pittodrie next season, Dave, you think? I mean, we brought in a new keeper, but you would still imagine Jamie would start.
Yeah, I think Jamie, it was the same last season when Nicky came in. Jamie was the number one. He's had a fantastic season. He will be the number one. If Jamie gets injured or loses form, Scott will get his chance. There's no doubt about that. But Jamie will certainly start as number one.
You're on the official station of the Dons, North Sun 1. And coming up, Pittodrie Vice Chairman George Yule makes a business case for the Dons and the benefits of being associated with the club in a successful period. Plus, as predicted early on, Celtic's new boss arrives from Scandinavia, but it's not Henrik Larsson. Here are moments on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine. Specialist hose integrity management services for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
This week, Aberdeen unveiled the new home strip and shirt sponsor, Saltair Energy, in a three-year sponsorship deal. Vice Chairman George Yule chatted to Dave Galloway, explaining more about the off-the-park business. We'll hear from him in a moment, but first, Mike Loggie of Saltair Energy.
Aberdeen football, it's synonymous, isn't it? And to be involved in it is tremendous. It's good. We're looking forward to it.
Everybody will obviously be hoping that there's a lot of potential in this deal, certainly at face value. That appears to be the case. A global company, if you like, championing the cause of Aberdeen Football Club, it can only benefit both parties, you would think.
I would think so. I hope so. I mean, it's going out to a lot of people. A lot of great fans will be watching this, so it's good for both of us, I believe.
And it seems like a perfect fit, doesn't it? Aberdeen is, of course, Europe's oil capital, and here's a major global oil company as the main sponsor.
Definitely, definitely. We're looking forward to being involved with AFC to a greater degree, you know, every day.
It's a particularly good time to be associated with a club on the back of the achievements last season, which to a man, you know, I'm sure everybody would have settled for a bit of silverware and a European place in the last season, and that's what was delivered. So the, you know, some of the negatives we already put out of our mind. We're looking forward to the season coming, we're looking forward to the European adventure, we're looking forward to connecting with the new club sponsor in some of these other areas as well.
With the bar being set so high, George, how do you take it up to the next notch?
By practising what you preach every day. It's all about delivering quality, value, standards. And the more accustomed you are to doing that, it becomes natural. Now, 99% of any successful club is what happens on the 90 minutes on the park. That is work in progress for us. Behind that, we've got to ensure as a board and as a club, we're not only supporting the football management team and what they're trying to do out there, but we're trying to get the other bits of the club into the right place as well. I mean, the launch a month or so ago of the Community Trust as a standalone charitable entity sent out a very big signal, I think, in the local community as well, about us, our ability as a football club using our brand to provide support and opportunity in this area for people who are not so fortunate. We're starting to see that already through our season ticket sales. I mean, the early bird cut-off was last Friday, and we're standing just over 8,000 season tickets sold. Now, within that 8,000, there's 800... new season ticket holders, never been at the club before, now registering. We still have, of last year's season ticket holders, about 2,200 still to renew. And that'll be people like myself who are disorganised, leave it to the last minute, or people who've maybe been out of Aberdeen for whatever reason. So we're seriously hoping by the first game of the season to get up to that 10,000 season ticket holder.
I mean, that would be just such a glowing, ringing endorsement of the blueprint for the club.
Well, it would be as well, because, you know, for us to support not just Derek and Tony and the guys, but for us to do other things at the club, you know, it requires financing. Even in Aberdeen, money doesn't grow in trees, so the club does need to, you know, generate what it can commercially on and off the park.
Even Aberdeen money doesn't grow in trees, boys.
I'll climb down then.
Come down.
It's a point worth bearing in mind. It's printed in gold leaf, I understand, but equally evergreen. Anyway, Dave, one of the aspects George Yule was at pains to emphasise in a press conference where they unveiled Saltair Energy as the new sponsor was the fact that for years fans have lamented the club's seemingly complete lack of ability to tap into the lucrative energy sector for funding, and this was a sort of cross in that box finally. And success breeds success, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, although I think the box that's been ticked is having an energy company on the shirt, because you may remember that Shell and Aberdeen Football Club had the longest running sponsorship deal in the history of Scottish football, which ran from something like 1992 or 82 right through to about 2007. And Shell put a considerable amount of money, far greater than some clubs got for shirt sponsors, but it was all done in the community. It was all part of their CSR programme, and you can understand why oil companies who have good times and bad times, sometimes they prefer to do their
down
work
that route.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not true at all to say that the football club doesn't have relationships, good relationships, with some of the energy companies. But Saltire will be obviously the first energy company that will have their name emblazoned. And I think it's a great move for the club, and looking forward to working with the guys.
Now, briefly, we've been chatting this one through from pretty much every conceivable angle for a couple of weeks already now, and now it's your turn to weigh in the debate, Dave. Three signings in, and possibly another two or three maybe to come. Before we chat specific names or positions, sticking with George Yule for a second, I think he mentioned something along the lines of, and I am paraphrasing here, that it wouldn't be the club's desire to enter into situations where they'd have to pay a transfer fee for a player, but that they would judge each move on a case-by-case basis. So he didn't rule it out altogether, it appears. Bearing that in mind, the one player who seems to be courting most headlines is Chris Boyd, who's admitted to interest from both Dundee United and Aberdeen, but also adds there are other parties involved, and he's off to consider his options in the sunshine. Kenny Miller, meanwhile, signing on for Rangers again, believes that Chris Boyd will return to Ibrox if approached. Where are we in all this? I think we've kind of been in this situation before, haven't we, with Chris Boyd? It's a marketplace. Most money wins, if it's the same as last time.
Yeah, it is. But it's also, it is the time of year where you'll get you'll get agents putting things into the media. In this case, you'll get players putting stuff into the media to try and up the ante. If Chris Boyd were to sign for Aberdeen, I know some Dons fans don't seem to fancy the idea, but if he can score that many goals for a team who had a pretty poor season like Kilmarnock, then I think you'd take him in a heartbeat. And personally, I don't care who's scoring the goals as long as he's scoring in a red shirt.
Yeah, and at the right end.
Yes.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, you know, Kilmarnock had a poor season, but I think he scored something like 23 goals, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're not the most attack-minded, flowing football team. So, you know, that just makes his ability stand out even more.
He did say something along the lines of, this is from the papers now, but he did say something along the lines of he wants to do the job and ply his trade in a team which is on the right part of the table, and he wants to try and force his way back into the Scotland team, which tends to suggest more that he's looking for one of the, you know, the top six clubs, let's say.
I would have thought so. You know, and to be honest, would going back to Rangers, and I'm sure it would be an option, because I'm sure they'd be delighted.
Certainly,
to
doesn't
get
ban
him.
You from the Scotland team. That's
no,
for certain.
It doesn't. But I would have thought at the stage of the career that Chris Boyd is in, you know, would he one last hurrah in the top flight at a team that's at the right end of the table, which obviously we fit the bill, United fit the bill as well.
Yeah, you see, we're talking about one last hurrah. How old is he? He's 30 or something, isn't he?
31 or something like that.
Yeah, but well, he's the wrong side of 30. So
yeah, but so is half our team, Dave.
Yes, but I would suggest
it's a spring chicken in our lineup.
But as a striker, Chris Boyd, who also, as we saw in the first game of the season last season, he obviously has to work pretty hard to keep.
Agreed.
Whereas if you take Barry Robson, who has got the such a great work ethic and really puts the effort in, I think, you know, Barry's got to extend his career by his own good work. And Russell as a defender, the further back in the team they go, the more slightly easier in terms of keeping your body in the required shape to be able to compete at the top level. But I certainly, if he ended up playing for Aberdeen, I think that would be a good move. There's a few better penalty box strikers in the country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's 30. He's 31 in August, so you know he's still got a few years left.
I think the thing with his game as well in more recent times, although we know him and he became established for being that, you know, 6-yard striker, he's actually put more into his game
The last time we played Kilmarnock, I think we commentated on that, on commentary that compared to the earlier part, not just of the season, but in his career, there was a lot more about him. So, it's an area of the game that he's obviously been working on.
And Kilmarnock made him captain as well.
Yeah, I said to Dave off air in the week, if given the signings so far, if we were to add Chris Boyd and say, for instance, Shinny, if that was the end of our business for the season and we concluded it quickly, I think most fans would be pretty happy at that.
Yeah, they would. Of course, we'd need to come up with a fee, which we're talking about transfer fees, because he's got a year of his contract to
which is why I
run.
Said it didn't seem
and
to
that,
be...
Yeah, I think we haven't... recent history tells you that we haven't paid a transfer fee for a good number of seasons. Mm.
George Yule was very clever with his answer to that direct question when we spoke to him the other day. He said that he definitely doesn't want to start going down the road of transfer fees, but the key phrase that he gave us was that they will continue, the board, to look at each individual player on a case-by-case basis.
But it's also important to stress, as the manager has stressed, he's known his budget for this coming season for quite a few months because he's been working on putting together the squad. So, again, it's a case of freeing up cash by the players that have gone, etc., etc. You know, and so, yeah, Graham Shinney's a great player. He's a local lad, Kincorth Academy, former pupil. Would be an excellent asset, but I think... personally, I can't see it happening in this transfer window.
The other thing as well with that is, as much as fans may covet his signing in this or another transfer window, I think now Derek, in the season that he's had, has earned a trust from them that he's got the reputation and the contacts to go and pluck a name that possibly we haven't heard of before. Stick them in and they'll do a job for the team.
Yeah, in Derek we trust, as they say so often. And with Ross Richardson doing a good, that job down south and just looking for players such as Ash Taylor, who I'm sure none of us had really heard of.
I hadn't heard of Scott Brown either.
Yeah,
but...
So I think there is a trust there. And that's been, as George mentioned, season ticket sales have been going really, really well. Sales of the new strip since it was launched in the week have been going really, really well. And yeah, that's fans like the strip because of the design. It's a new name in the front, but also that's very much reflecting on the confidence that the Red Army feels about the team right now.
If you were the boss, Dave, play that imaginary football manager game for a moment, if you will. if you were the boss, where would you be trying to strengthen? You've got a couple of positions that maybe that you want to try and fill, or an area of the squad that you want to strengthen?
Yeah, going by my football manager record, I'd probably be trying to keep my job by this stage. Pretty lousy at that. But I don't know that we've got another defender, and we've got the goalkeeper. We've got Shea on a permanent basis. Michael Hector signed a new 2-year deal with Reading. So there may be possibilities depending on what... Now, we know Michael can play in the middle of the park as well. So we do certainly need a striker. There's no doubt about that. But other than that, I think we've also not to forget that we've got the youngsters coming through. We don't want to be in a situation which, like everybody else, I think I really couldn't understand the argument for Rangers allowing a situation where young Charlie Telfer can end up signing for Dundee United at the same time as they're signing, great player though he has been, Kenny Miller. That does that send out the right message? And I think Aberdeen have got to make sure that we continue to send, which we will do, in terms of the players coming through. Big season coming up for some of our younger players, like Cammy Smith, Nicky Lowe,
Nicky Lowe, yeah.
And the other ones that are coming through, Craigie Murray, who's got, there was a few, Michael Rose got a squad number near the end of last season. Again, just slowly bringing them in. Looking, Scotty Wright's another one as well, who impressed with the Scotland under 17. So I think we've also got to, not just go down the market of bringing players in. And Derek won't do anything without thinking the whole thing completely through. We've got to look at the players that we're bringing up and promoting from the under 20 squad.
You're on Not So Much Friday Sport. Ahead of 7, we'll chat golf with Paul Laurie, and directly ahead, Celtic get their man. Well, one of the shortlist of 10. We'll hear from him in just a moment on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, a world leader in the design, manufacture and supply of hoses for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmour and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
Now entering the European Adventure Departure Lounge slightly later than most, but still having that date looming as a matter of pressing urgency, Celtic finally appointed their new boss today, joining from a Norwegian club that I haven't taken the time to learn how to pronounce. New manager Ronnie Dyler has been chatting to North Sound 1's Friday Sport. We'll hear from him in a moment. First, Peter Loyal explains why Celtic appointed him.
Well, he's the right man because he's intelligent. As I said, he's progressive, he's modern. He's got a fantastic track record in terms of winning and developing a team and developing players. And he fits probably perfectly with where we are at the moment as a club. So we're all about, as you know, our strategy is to develop our own. It's also to find the undervalued players or the uncut diamonds, as we've done here, bring them here, train them, develop them, and put them in the first team and hopefully the Champions League. So his credentials are ideal for Celtic.
I'm very proud today. It's been a fantastic day, and I felt this was a right move for me now. After being in 9 fantastic years in Strømsgodset, I felt that was the time, and when this opportunity came, I'm very excited. My philosophy is, first of all, that I want to play offensive football. I want to have the game under control with the ball, and we want to have possession and create chances, especially at the home games, give the fans entertainment for football. And otherwise, it's here, of course, to win trophies. That's what the club is for. And then to do that, we need to develop players and the staff, of course. Everybody in the staff and the team needs to progress. It's a fantastic step, and I think it's the right step for me now. So I feel very comfortable and talked with the club a lot, and I feel unbelievably warm. The fans is warm, and the staff here, everybody, Peter, fantastic. And I feel this is like a family. So a lot of the values that's in this club, I can feel myself home in.
Yeah, he feels warm, so... Directly after that press conference, he stripped everything off and walked off into the sunset in his pants once
again.
I don't
think he'll be doing that in Glasgow's December afternoon.
I love how he has that European accent. You can't quite tie it down where he's from. But anyway, Celtic have effectively done here what they try and do with players, haven't they? They unearth someone that they think will be a diamond that they can develop and nurture perhaps to bigger things. And I think the thing here that I noticed most was that he seems perfectly comfortable in the spotlight. He's confident in his own ability. He was looking for a move up because he felt ready for the next challenge. That said, it's a risk, isn't it, Dave? I mean, they won the league at such a canter. They probably feel it's one that they can take.
Yeah, it is a risk. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I suppose it's similar to Lubo Moravcik, who came as a player to Celtic and was an absolute sensation. Nobody had really heard of him. Henrik Larsson, to a certain extent, as well. But you look at the example of Paul Le Guin, who is a complete disaster at Rangers. So it is a risk because it is different, as we've seen. Managers have arrived in Scotland before and have talked a good game but not quite managed to cut the mustard. So it'll be interesting. There's no doubt about that. And you know, where Celtic will be judged by their fans will be in their progress in Europe. And they've got a very difficult qualifying campaign.
Would any manager coming in, whoever they'd hired, have enough time between now and when that comes round to try and put their imprint on?
Not really, because there were, after Neil Lennon had resigned, a couple of players, Izaguirre and Ambrose, was it, had signed new deals. So there's work going on in the background without a manager. So he's obviously had no real decision in that because he wasn't the appointed at that point. So no, he's got to be given, like any manager, be given time to put his stamp his own authority on the
Well,
the squad.
They're good for that in Glasgow, giving you a bit of time. You know.
A couple of losses
and
I mean, it's sink or swim time. I think that's the phrase that springs to mind. But
that's
it
literally
why it takes his clothes off, is it?
Yes, exactly. Didn't want to get his suit wet.
Cross the Clyde.
To be fair though, guys, a lot of people are going, "Who's this guy?" But you know, when Wim Jansen took over at Celtic Park for that one season, a lot of people said, "Yeah, he played for Holland, didn't he?" But what has he ever done as a manager? Is he the right man? He stayed for one season and he stopped Rangers winning 10 in a row.
Well, we'll see. Notably as well, you mentioned that he's just come in and signings and things have been, or you know, extensions of contracts have been happening in the background. Celtic in talks with Craig Gordon.
Yeah.
Another risk worth taking?
Well, it's a risk, isn't it, because of his injury history. But there's, you know, the other side of the coin is he's a top-class
He's a great
keeper,
goalkeeper.
And if he stays injury-free, you know, that I'm sure that'll be part of the contract, you know, almost like a pay and play, I would have thought, because I think you would be, given his history, I think you would be, a very risky way you could end up having a keeper that's sitting on the sidelines. But, no, a fit Craig Gordon is certainly would... when he's a place in most teams.
Some of our fans in the chat boards today are saying, oh, brilliant, they've signed this guy. He's going to take ages to get in the door to try and understand what the likes of Scott Brown's actually saying. And it's brilliant. We might actually win the league next season.
Mm. We'll see.
Fingers crossed, eh? Still to come before 7, the Scottish Open is coming to Royal Aberdeen soon. We'll hear from local star Paul Laurie, as well as the organisers, plus tennis as well. News on Andy Murray's match against Rafa Nadal, which I think David's still been hoping to comment on in live terms in the semi-final of the French Open. Next to Northsound 1's Friday Sport.
Northsound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine. Servicing the oil, gas and petrochemical industries. Dunlop-oil-marine.co.uk.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
Now, world-class golf and world-class golfers with it returning to Aberdeen for the Scottish Open soon. In a moment, we'll hear from the northeast, Paul Laurie. But first, Championship Director Peter Adams.
We're so pleased to actually come here for the first time to Royal Aberdeen. It's one of the great Scottish links courses, a very old golf course played through fantastic natural terrain, and we're really looking forward to the tournament in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is special about this course? It just looks fantastic.
Well, I think if you talk to the players, they just love the challenge that this course throws up. It's one of the greatest golf courses, and acknowledged to be so by some of the greatest players in the world. And Tom Watson won the seniors here a number of years ago, one of the greatest players who extolled the virtues of Royal Aberdeen, and it's really caught the imagination of the players.
It doesn't get much better, to be fair, Dave. It's always been, you know, a lovely, iconic course for us. It's our best course in this area by far, and we're lucky to be having the Scottish Open here. It's a great venue.
This is, of course, you obviously know well, Paul, there's going to be a world-class field of golfers here. How would you sell this course, if you like, to some of the other competitors?
Well, I Aberdeen Athletic obviously asked me to speak to a few of the top players and a few of the Ryder Cup boys that I played with in Medina, and it was a pretty easy sell, to be honest. There's not many better courses anywhere than this. Scottish Open's a massive event now, and they all wanted to add it to their schedule. It was just my job to kind of tell them that the course was really good and the city's beautiful and they'll have a great week. Easy.
What sort of a course is this like to tame? Has it got a few hidden surprises?
Well, it's a typical links course. Obviously, it needs the weather. If it's flat calm, I think scoring will be quite good, no matter how tough the course is. But if it blows a little bit, then it bears its teeth quite a lot. Very similar to any links course that needs a little bit of wind, but we'll get that. At no time will it be flat calm, I don't think, at the Scottish Open. So everyone's looking forward to it. It's going to be a huge week. I just wish that it was tomorrow.
Does this make it even more special? I mean, I know you won't try any harder because you always give it 120%.
Well, a little bit, obviously. It's going to be tough not to, but I've been pretty good down the years with some results in Scotland, so it hasn't hindered me in the past. I've not played a European Tour event in Aberdeen, so we don't know how that's going to go, but I'm obviously going to have, hopefully, quite a bit of support out there, which you try and feed off as a professional golfer. I've done that pretty well in the past, so I'm looking forward to it.
The fact that Phil Mickelson did the double last year, if you like, Scottish Open and the Open, do you think that's maybe attracted more people over, more of the world-class field that might fancy replicating that?
Yeah, the last couple of years, a lot of the top players have taken that week off to prepare for the Open. But I think with obviously Phil Mickelson winning back-to-back, they saw it as he maybe got himself going at the Scottish Open and got into the links kind of format, because it is different. You know, we don't play an awful lot of links golf during the year. And I think they've all thought, man, I should really add the Scottish Open to my schedule. So I think Darren Clark playing at Caster Stewart and then winning the Open and then Mickelson doing the same, I think it's kind of a lot of people have thought, man, that's a good idea. Let's add the Scottish Open to our schedule.
Paul Laurie there. Phil Mickelson, I know, absolutely fell in love with Scotland when the Open was staged further north last few years. His family come across, they set up home here for a good couple of months around the Open, and that commitment alone, it does wonders for bringing tourists to Scotland. Hopefully Aberdeen can benefit in a similar way, guys, and let's hope Paul gets a good bit of form and bounces into a win in home soil as well. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's another... I mean, it's just such a fantastic summer of sport in Scotland, and that just adds to the whole mix.
OK, now, I wonder whether Dave will argue Andy Murray's finding his form at the right time ahead of Wimbledon. Turned over 6-3, 6-2, 6-1 today at Roland Garros in the French Open semi-final against Rafa Nadal. But I am sure that you will argue, Dave, on clay and still establishing himself fully following the backup, Andy did really well to get to the semi-finals in the first place.
Yes, I mean, it equals his best best showing at Roland Garros. I'm not going to rise to any bait, by the way. And also, score-wise, that's his worst performance in a Grand Slam. So, you know, it doesn't look good. But Nadal said that was his best performance on clay this season. And Nadal, on the top of his game, is the best clay player by a distance in
just
the world.
If
he plays like that on Sunday, Djokovic will not stand too much of a chance. And you've got to remember as well, I think Andy made the point, the five setters, that if he'd managed to not drag them out, because on clay in particular, with long, long rallies, it's really does, you certainly, you know, even as fit as Andy is, you would certainly start to feel it. Whereas Rafa had won, he'd won a 1-2-1 game earlier on, I think in the fourth round. So, fantastic display, but Andy can go into the grass court. So he's a way to defend his Aegon title next week, and he can do that with plenty of confidence.
I always thought, and I think probably with the exception of yourself, Dave, or maybe even you believe this, I always thought retaining Wimbledon would be hugely difficult for Andy, but the fact that Nadal seems to be back to his best and he's just beaten Andy, does that put down like an unwelcome sort of negative mental mark in Andy's mind, that little seeded out?
No, I don't think so, because Nadal's always had that on, you know, the clay and the grass seasons are so different, and that's why they're allowing Wimbledon is getting moved back a week from next year to allow a week's more preparation for the difference, because it's the most extreme differences when we're going from clay to grass. But I think the contrary. I think the fact that he has won Wimbledon and that monkey is off his back will allow him to go in knowing how to do it. He's won it once, so I think it will go in with plenty.
He can
of
do it again, definitely.
A new coach apparently has been decided. This time last week, Andy wasn't ruling out a woman. He said that he was going to announce the coach after he'd finished competing in the French. So who is it?
I haven't a clue. I really don't know. I mean, but I think he'll take as long as he needs to take
does
to
it,
get the right person.
Does it matter? I mean, does it? You're saying that he's just had the best season that he's had in terms of the French. Does it really matter?
At the end of the day, it's an individual sport, but I think Lendl changed Andy's game in a positive way, in the fact that when Lendl was involved, he won his... You know, he won Wimbledon for the first time last year. So I think, yes, from that point of view, it's you do need a coach at that level.
OK. And you still wouldn't like to put your money in who that's going to be?
No.
Right.
I wonder what the betting odds are, actually.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, there's something we could do for next week.
Yeah.
Now, before we go, Dave, you wanted to mention something?
Yeah, there's a family fun day at the Bonacord Centre tomorrow, and amongst the activities that's going on, if you remember, we did their Beards for Bairns for the Archie Foundation.
Loved it,
yeah.
Loved it.
How
great
could we
fun.
Forget? I think it's our other halves that we'd rather forget.
Not too pleased.
Raising money for the Archie Foundation tomorrow is a Peter Pollitt signed shirt, which is being raffled, £1 each for the raffle tickets, and it's all going to, signed and framed by Peter, and it was one of his shirts from last season, so it is an authentic PP shirt.
Oh, well done, Peepaw.
Peepaw baby shirt. So,
Peepaw,
No. We need a new song for next season, that's the thing. Someone will rise to the fore. We'll get another tune out of them.
Yes.
Now, World Cup starting next week. Would you care to name a team that's going to win it?
I think one of the South American teams, I'll go for Brazil.
Brazil or Argentina?
See you next week.